we're going to talk about the time is short. The time is short. I know we don't have a bulletin today, but I'm going to give you the title and I'll give you 3 points that we have. The time is short. And it's to impress upon us the urgency of our Christian life, how we're to view the things that are truly important, and how we're to live in view of those things, those priorities. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29. He says to the Corinthians, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none." And then he says, he goes on to say, "They that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not." He's talking to Corinthians who he wants to impress upon them the importance of being ready now and being prepared now and to be active now and to realize that we live in a passing world where time passes quickly, opportunities open and then they close. And we should keep that in mind. In the case of the Corinthians, he knew that Corinthians would be facing persecution at some point, and he wanted them to make good decisions to prepare for the persecution that would come their way. When he says the time is short, it's a principle, it's a truth that applies in every age, and it applies to us today. There's a timeless truth about it. Time is on Paul's mind. You know, he was one that wanted to make use of every opportunity that came his way. If you look at the life of Jesus as he walked from the beginning of his ministry up until the cross, you'll see that he used his time wisely. He always knew where he was, what he was doing, for what purpose. He had a plan. God had a plan for his son to carry out his life, his ministry, and the ultimate culmination upon the cross. There's an appreciation of time. I'm afraid sometimes that we sometimes do not always understand the importance of time. They say time is money. I suppose in a sense that is true. But time is opportunity. And many times we will let opportunities go past and not realize it. I also want to read from the book of Romans, chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. He says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believe." Romans 13, verse 11. Jesus had one time. He had a date with destiny, a time when he had to be in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. He was born in the fullness of times, and his death upon the cross was designed to pay the price of sin for all mankind for all time. Jesus said, "My time is at hand," in Matthew 26, 18. And Paul said to the Romans, he says, "In due time Christ died for the ungodly." In Mark 1, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So, this is time. God's great kingdom was timed. God had time on his mind, even though he lives in eternity and he has no time associated with him. So time is one of the key words to remember this morning. I've already said it many times in the beginning of this lesson. Grandpa's clock one time struck 117 times. And Grandma woke up and said, "Wake up! It's later than you think." Well, three things to remember. The time is short for salvation. The time is short for salvation because our lives are short. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know when our life could come to an end. the terrible events that we see in the news where people who had no idea that their lives would end at unexpected times is a sad thing to see, but it's also a sobering thing for us to be reminded. We should always be aware that today could be our last day on this earth, in this life. We should always keep in mind the importance of that truth. Our lives are short, and we may not let that really strike home strongly with us as often as we should. The time is short for salvation because the gospel is important and urgent. A short time brings urgency. I like to call the Great Commission the hymn urgency. You know the word emergency, but the hymn urgency is that time is coming to an end at one day, and when Jesus comes again, and the urgency that we should feel toward lost souls should be impressed upon us every day, because you don't know how long you'll be around, or you don't know how long your friend, your neighbor, your co-worker, your family member will be around. So short time brings urgency. Urgency brings action, and action brings results. What would you do? What would you do if you knew today was your last day of life? What would you do differently? Think about it. Important thing to consider. If you knew today was your last day of life on this earth, would you do something differently? I suspect we would think about that pretty seriously, and suddenly our priorities would be changed. Isaiah 55, verse 6, Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." While he may be found. There may be a time when the Lord may not be found. So Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him." Look at the timing and the urgency and the action of the man who was infirm for 38 years. I want to read from John chapter 5, verses 1 and following. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there was in Jerusalem the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then was first, after stirring up the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been there 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet, and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. So the timing here for this man was perfect for him. He met Jesus at this moment in time, and then Jesus healed him. God keeps on being good to people to help them to repent. You know, people take blessings from God oftentimes for granted, thinking that life is good, life is calm, life is even, life is steady, I have blessings. But you know, if a person is not in Christ, they need to interpret God's goodness as God saying, "I'm being good to you, I'm blessing you, I'm sending the rain upon the just and the unjust, I am blessing you so that you will repent." In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, "Despise thou the goodness of God for his forbearing and his long-suffering. The goodness of God leads you to repentance." Isn't it interesting? He says that the goodness of God is to lead us to repentance. That is, we're to remember how good God has been to us and to turn from any ways that are in opposition to his will. The time is short for those who have come short of God's glory. We're still on the first point. The time is short for salvation. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't let the alarm go off and then keep on sleeping. You know, the snooze button was put on clocks for what purpose? They hear the alarm, and what do? They reach over and push that snooze button. Because I don't want to get up. I just don't want to get up. I want to stay warm and comfy under the covers in my bed. But you know, in the spiritual world, don't press the snooze button. Don't press the snooze button. When the alarm goes off, pay attention to the alarm spiritually and get up and get going and get moving. The sleep of listlessness, negligence, and carnal security. The sleeping time is forever in the past. Put away carelessness. The child of God, the Christian, the person who is a member of Christ's church, has set aside the sleepiness in the spiritual world and has said, I'm going to be alert. I'm going to be awake. I'm going to be doing God's will. I'm going to look carefully and not make judgments on things on the surface and think that I know what's going on. I'm going to look deeper and look at the real facts of the matter and operate appropriately. We're in a day for action. So the time is short for salvation. Number two, the time is short for service. The time is short for service. It says in Acts 3 verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's Acts 3:19. What we're told there is that we have been refreshed by salvation to be at work, to be busy at work. The time for rest comes after this life. Did you know that? The time for real rest, eternal rest, heavenly rest is after this life. While we're in this life, while we're in the church militant, that is, we're battling for the forces of the gospel and light and righteousness in the midst of a dark world, we're always staying busy. We're wanting to stay busy in doing the Lord's will and not be falling asleep. Jesus' ransom must be preached. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. No, there's that word again, due time. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. We must realize that Jesus was crucified upon the cross. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. It was all at a particular time, and that was done for us to be aware of the importance of time and the souls around us. We are to be servants. The time is short for service. Declare it at this time. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26 says this. Romans 3 and verse 26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How long in our lives of service is the harvest season for picking fruit? How many times is it ready? Can fruit be picked every day of the year? No, there are specific harvest times when fruit can be picked. Sometimes we may get a second chance, but for the most part, we need to be aware of time and its importance every day. We need to be taking advantage of picking fruit, so to speak. And what I mean by that is going out and serving, sharing the gospel, helping people to know his will, and to be ready to respond, to help people obey the gospel. In Matthew 21 and verse 34 and 41, it says, when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. Render him the fruits in their seasons. There's that mention of time again. The word time is recurring constantly in Scripture to make us aware that we're not to waste our time. When will we die? When will our service be complete and pleasing to God? When we die in the Lord, that is the point at which God says, okay, you've served me faithfully, and the time for you to come home has come. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." When he wrote 2 Timothy, he knew he was going to die. Death was imminent. He knew that whether it was that day or the next week, he knew he was in a position that he would not recover from, he would not escape from. He would die. Tradition tells us that he was beheaded in Rome during the reign of Nero. In Psalm 71 and verse 18, it says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." And then Psalm 90 and verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So, it's important for us to be aware of the importance of this moment and every day that we live. 6 months from now, a year from now, I would guess it's probably unlikely that we could assemble the same group of people here. You know, things change. Weeks go by, months go by, years go by, and you usually cannot assemble the same group of people a year later. So think about that for a moment. Times will change and we need to be ready, for the time is short for service. And then thirdly, number three, the time is short for suffering. The present order of things is not permanent. It is a privilege and it is an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. I want to read from Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. "So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." We must not let the day-to-day routine lull us into seeing it as always being here. You know, there's a scientific theory called uniformitarianism. And what that is the idea that the processes and the speed of those processes that take place today have always been. Therefore, they try to say that the world is hundreds of millions or billions of years old. The fact is, they leave out the possibility of catastrophe, that is, the flood, Noah's flood. They leave out the fact that God can in an instant change things for good and permanently in a very short period of time. The time is short for suffering, therefore we must not let the present opportunities go by thinking that they will always be there. They will not always be there. We must be aware of and redeem the time. In Luke 17, verse 26 and following, it says this, "Just as it happened in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." You notice how life was in Noah's day. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Life was just kind of going along in a normal pattern. And then the flood came. So don't always count on things remaining the same. And then continuing, "It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed." Things just kind of go along and people get lulled into sleep. But he says, don't sleep. We're children of God. We're to be awake and be alert. The time is short for suffering. The time is short when what the Bible says is wrong is presented as being right by the world. It's important for us to see that those changes that take place in culture and a society, they change because of the pressure and the influence of teaching that goes against Jesus, and we must stand in the gap. We must not be neutral. We cannot be neutral. Things are happening all over the world. Things are happening in our country. Things are happening in our city. Let's discern the time. Let's be aware of the time. Let's be sensitive to the times in which we live. We'll reap after we've sown and suffered. And I want to read from Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and following. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, there we go again, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. How long will people listen to the gospel? We don't know. We cannot predict. We don't know what's in the hearts of people. All we have to do is stay busy, suffering for the gospel, sharing the gospel. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time, there it is again, there's that word again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If you read Revelation, it came true. Revelation 22 verse 10, and he saith unto them, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's amazing how many times the word time shows up in Scripture, and we are to be reminded of its importance. So, the time is short. The time is short for salvation, the time is short for service, and the time is short for suffering. And then 1 Peter 4, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So Jesus' coming is a sure thing. It makes everything short. And we must be aware of that. You realize 2,000 years have passed since the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we are 2,000 years closer to that final day. Could be today, could be a year from now, could be 50 years, could be 100 years, but we are closer every day that passes to the final judgment day with Jesus coming in judgment. Felix didn't understand the time. He put off what was needed then at that moment. To him the time was long. Acts 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go your way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, he was not aware of the importance of time. So let me close with these three mentions. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Acts 22:16. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And then Revelation 22 verse 20. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Time. The time is short. Come now while we stand and sing.